Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael.
Yeah, well, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this question. Who do you blame for the failure of the Obamacare overhaul? Trump, Bannon, Ryan, Freedom Caucus, Priebus, Heritage, Ted Cruz? Who do you blame? There is blame. There's a lot of blame to go around. Republicans control everything and control nothing. The loser Democrats have lost 1,000 seats and now in control, owing to the infighting. So who do you blame? Who do you blame for this? Trump himself? Bannon, who some call the bull? Ryan, who seems to be incompetent or a Brutus? The Freedom Caucus, who is so extreme in their demands and unwilling to compromise that they get nothing done? Mr. Priebus, who is a moderate Republican, let's be clear, in the form of, let us say, a Gerald Ford era. The Heritage Foundation, they're not that conservative. Ted Cruz and his minions, who still hate Trump and want him down. Who do you blame? Topic number two on the Savage Nation. Michael Savage's new book, Trump's War, hits number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Everyone is reporting it? Not. Few places have, Newsmax, WorldNet Daily, Washington Times. Now, you'd say, that's a big deal, I don't want to hear about it. And I'll tell you why you're going to hear about it, because I did it without any media help to speak of. Ask yourself a question. I want you to think about this. Washington Times says, Trump's War is Battle for America by Michael Savage, now at the top of the heap, besting new offerings from both former President George W. Bush and Fox News host Bill O'Reilly. Bill has a great television show, but his book is not number one. George W. Bush is a former president with a huge PR machine and a great following. He's not number one. I want to ask you a pointed question, which is very important, and it ties into the first question of who you blame for the failure of the Obamacare overhaul. And it's a loaded question, but I have to ask it at long last. Why do you think Fox News and Rush Limbaugh blacklist me? What is it that Rush Limbaugh and Fox News fears in mentioning Michael Savage's name? And what does this tell you about their supposed influence? Fox News and Rush Limbaugh think that they're kingmakers. Are they really kingmakers? Are there any kings left? Is there anyone to make a king anymore? These are great questions because they're tied together. Analyze the questions. Come up with the answers. The phone number is 855-407-2282. Now, I want to begin with a soundbite from Ted Poe, conservative from Texas, where he blames the Freedom Caucus, in which he says the Freedom Caucus would vote against the Ten Commandments if it came up for a vote, which I think says it all in clip number one. Let's hear it.
Well, there are some members, I think, that wanted stronger parts of the repeal in the bill. But it would move too far to the right where you wouldn't get any other Republicans to support it. So it's a compromise. And I think that there is nothing that could be added to the bill that the Freedom Caucus would ever vote yes on. And so I got the opinion that there's some members of the Freedom Caucus, they'd vote no against the Ten Commandments if it came up for a vote.
God, that's great humor. At least we have somebody with a sense of sarcasm left in politics. It's good. It tickles my fancy. So you can blame them for holding out, saying, no, we represent the people. We want our way or no way, our way or the highway. So they got nothing. That's what fanaticism gets you, nothing. Nothing. You have extremists in the Democrat Party like Schumer, Pelosi, and that creature from God knows where, whatever her name is, the one calling for impeachment before Trump was born, whatever her name is. I don't even want to remember her name. I'd like it stricken from the English language. That's an example of extremism. And there's a place for extremism, usually on the battlefield, but not in politics, because extremism does not work in the political world that we have. You've got to build coalitions. On Friday when this came down, what did I, Michael Savage, say? What did I say? What did I say? It was copied immediately by a rather low-grade star on Fox News on Sunday, which Trump then tweeted out as though she created it. She listened to my show, no doubt. She heard me say on Friday, get rid of Ryan. I blame Ryan. What's the big deal? You got to be a genius to figure that out. I don't know why he never mentions my name anymore. Doesn't call, doesn't mail. No phone calls, no mail, no desserts. Somehow he's obsessed with Fox News. Good for him. But why is it that Fox News blacklists Michael Savage all these years? You know, when an author hits number one in a political book, usually every outlet in the country wants him on the show, left, right, and center, because it makes for good television. In that, if you're a liberal, well, you want to take on the conservative and ask him, how do you think you hit number one? What does it say about America? How do you think your book went to number one without any media support? That's a great television show. If you're a conservative, as some pretend to be on Fox News, you have the guy on for a victory lap. One of theirs won. So how is it that I'm not on Fox News? Who is it at Fox News? Roger Ailes is gone. I used to hear it was him. He's gone, so you can't blame him. Is it Murdoch himself? I wouldn't know. Now, number two is Rush Limbaugh. God bless Rush. He created this format for most of us. Hats off to Rush. But we all know he's lost his way. We all know that he plays the center so often that he doesn't know where right or left is. He mentions people in the media day and night, but he never mentions me. Why? I did this without him. He needs me more than I need him. That's the important truth here. He needs me more than I need him. So these are important and tied in questions, but there are many other topics. The fifth column marching against Trump from the deep state is a topic. The appointees within the State Department are there since Bill Clinton's era need to be purged. I still to this minute do not understand why Trump has not fired all of the holdovers from Obama and Clinton, the Clinton years. They're still in there. I don't care if they're federal employees. He's got to get rid of them. Why hasn't he gotten rid of them and replaced them? Well, there's a few answers. One, because it's not that easy to get rid of federal employees. Number two, he doesn't have the people to replace them with. There are not enough qualified people to replace them with. So just eliminate the positions as they do in corporations. You just eliminate the positions and don't replace them. Most of them do nothing anyway except plot every day. You know, years ago when I was a young academic, I was told that most people in academia spend all of their time plotting against each other. That's all the faculty does is plot against each other to undermine each other. Take the English department, the physics department, it doesn't matter which. They all backbite. And they connive against each other to try to bring the other one down and advance over the other guy. That's why I hated academia. I thought it was too petty. It's no different in any structure, by the way. It's almost the same in corporations. It's almost the same in politics. It's constant plotting and scheming against each other in a bureaucracy. And the larger the bureaucracy, the more of the plotting and scheming against each other. This goes back to the ancient Chinese system. If you look at ancient China and you look... I've told you this many times. It's an important point to make today, I suppose. It just kind of fits right in here in this giant 12,000-piece puzzle I do every day. So here's a little piece of the puzzle. China was the most advanced civilization on the planet until about the year 1000 AD. They had six-masted sailing ships. They were mining coal. They had invented paper. They were ahead of everybody on the planet. And then something strange happened in China. A vast bureaucracy began to form, like what we call big government here. And this vast bureaucracy was ruled by a small and increasingly power-mad elite called the Mandarins. Think of them with the long fingernails. They were like the elites. Nancy Pelosi, long fingernails. Dianne Feinstein, long fingernails. The only one without long fingernails is called Barfly. She bites them off. But the issue is the long fingernails ruled China with these long, long talons of intrigue. And what happened in China after that, ladies and gentlemen? The advancement of China came to a halt. Eventually, it died out completely because the centralized government that had emerged, this giant bureaucracy, the big government, you want to call it whatever you want, socialism, they didn't know about that then. It was just central power, strangled the entire country, strangled all innovation, prevented any innovation from occurring, and China fell into disrepair. The warlords appeared, and it was 800 years of fighting until the most monstrous of all of them appeared, who killed 60 million of his fellow countrymen through starvation and murder, Mao Zedong, revered to this day in San Francisco. So what does that have to do with today? We have a gigantic bureaucracy, which you know about, called big government. Hillary Clinton would have made it much larger. Trump came to power largely by saying he was going to take down the big government, drain the swamp, right? Build a wall, knock ISIS off the planet. We'll give him some time. I mean, it's only been 3 months. My birthday's at the end of this week, March 31st. Somebody was going to write a story, by the way, again, another little piece of the big puzzle, the big tapestry. And that is this. I don't have anything to hide. You all know how old I am. I'm not ashamed of it. I'd be ashamed of my age. I have the energy of a 20-year-old. I have more energy now than I did at 30. How does that work? How is it that I have more stamina and energy than most men in their 30s who are kind of inside? They don't have much energy left in them. Well, anyway, I don't know. I'll tell you that another day. Here's the thing. Somebody was going to write an article called 75 and number one. They thought it was a phenomenon. How could you, at 75 years of age, have a number one bestseller and have a number one radio show in New York City on WABC? How did you do it? How could you be number one on radio on the biggest station in the entire complex called WABC? And how could you have a number one bestseller at your age, number one, and number two, without any help from the media? How is that even possible? Well, it's not about me. Of course my ideas are important, but there are a lot of people out there with wonderful ideas, good ideas, fabulous creativity. So what is it then? It's the audience. It's you. It's the listener. It's the dedication of this audience to me, to my ideas, because my ideas reflect your ideas. I am your voice. I am the voice of the voiceless. Remember, Spiro Agnew called the silent majority what it was, the silent majority, and Reagan came to power. Remember that? After Nixon, on the silent majority. What did I name this audience many years ago? Not the deplorables. I called you the silenced majority. Not the silence majority, the silenced. One letter says it all. You are the silenced majority no longer. You have been activated by me and by others like me. By people in the media who know what's going on. Never mind what the gigantic bureaucrats want you to think about how evil it is to overcome a giant bureaucracy and destroy everybody's creativity and freedom in this country or any other country. No. We are the voices of freedom. We're the last possible hope for the creative sparks out there in this country. So that's the opening to the show. The questions again, who do you blame for the failure of the Obamacare overhaul? Trump, Bannon, Ryan, Freedom Caucus, Priebus, Heritage Foundation, Ted Cruz. Two, Trump's war, number one. Why do you think Fox News and Rush Limbaugh blacklist me? What do you think they fear? And what does this tell you about their supposed influence? I think this is a valid show for us to engage in for a while. After some time, I will probably go to something a little more interesting like what I ate last night. Be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about who you blame for the failure of the Obamacare overhaul and why, although my book Trump's War is number one on the New York Times list, I am basically blacklisted by Fox News and Rush Limbaugh, who's the greatest talk show host in history, and very conservative at that. So during the break, I made myself a second cup of coffee for the day, and I got my almond milk creamer, which I bought this morning at 6:30 in a supermarket. I don't eat dairy, if I can avoid it, basically. Unsweetened, made with real almond cream. And I was looking at the back of the container. These containers, they dairy-free, soy-free, gluten-free, carrageenan-free, GMO-free, cholesterol-free. You ask yourself, how does it taste so good? What's in it? So I got to thinking about all these containers and packages which are free of everything. Gluten, vegan, I realized that if I were to put a package on the Republican Party, I'd have to label it as such. Ideas free, character free, principles free, education free, guts free, and spine free. And then I can drink the Republican Party milk. Because there's nothing there. There's no there. One thing you got to say about the liberal, socialist, Islamist party, the Dems, they have very strong ideas about destroying America and taking away our freedom. They have plenty of guts and spine, and they've really studied their history very well. They know just how to bring a country to its knees. You got to hand it to Pelosi and Schumer. You know what I'm saying? If you were to label that package. Now, I'm going to talk about these topics. I want to take your calls, though. I got a minute. How do you like that? KSFO, Diane, line two. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to say that I think that Fox News and Rush Limbaugh is blacklisting you because they don't want more people to know about your message of language, border, and culture. You know, they're freaking out. You're, like, number one. You've got a number one show. Your book, Scorched Earth, promoted Trump, and Trump won the election. So now you've got the number one book on what, you know, the people need to do to take back America, and they don't want to promote you further. That's my thought.
But isn't Fox center-right? Wouldn't you define that network as a center-right network? Or are they center-left now?
Yeah.
I mean, they've changed. They've changed since in the last few years. They were moving to the center a long time ago, but Murdoch is a well-known Democrat. He's a well-known Democrat. I mean, look at the newspapers he owns around the world. He was backing Hillary Clinton, so far as I know.
Right.
So, and you got to remember, Fox News is 18% owned by a Saudi prince. I think it's Prince Alawid. He owns 18% of News Corporation. So they don't want anything to do with Islamism or things like that. They try to avoid the subject as often as possible. So I can understand them. But when you take a guy in the radio business who was as powerful as he is, this other fellow, he created a category unto himself. You got to give him credit for that. He has people on who write books that go nowhere. Why does he not mention my name? What is he afraid of? And where does he really stand politically? We have to ask these questions in order to know where to go.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
If you only knew who your puppet masters were, you'd be a lot better off. Many of you think, oh, it's those socialists, it's those liberals. But there are many other puppet masters, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation. Many, many, many other puppet masters. Some of them actually talk like you, walk like you, espouse ideas that you think are your own, but they're part of the puppet mastery that deceives you. Here's an example. Dick Cheney says, Russian election meddling could be an act of war. This is astounding. He was at the Economic Times Global Business Summit in New Delhi on Monday, and he said, Russian attempted interference with the 16 election could be considered an act of war. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you have any idea how insane this is? He is now joining the far left of the Democrat Party to say that Russia attempted to interfere with our internal political processes when he said nothing about Obama meddling in Israeli elections. What other countries did Obama meddle in? I gave this to you last week, remember, Robert? I did a whole show topic on it. Didn't seem to make it in the media. Obama meddled for sure in the Israeli elections and the Egyptian elections. He meddled in Ukraine. Those are three countries we know of. And there was one other. Was that a declaration of war by Obama? So why is Cheney now taking the position of the far left? First of all, we know that Cheney is a warmonger. He's part of the Bush family oil industrial complex. They just say Halliburton. Just say Halliburton and say Patriot Act, and you know who Dick Cheney is. There's no proof of a Russian interference. That's a left-wing invention. And here's Cheney throwing it out there for the world to gobble up. Somebody wrote this. They said, you would think living with some poor unfortunate's heart, keeping him alive, would have humbled that dirtball. Don't think people don't see through these puppet masters. They do. But here's an example of who the Bush clan really was and really are. They're extremely deceptive, in my estimation. Russian election meddling could be an act of war. Wow. Now you could see why I'm not on Fox News. They don't know where I'm liable to come off or where I'm liable to go. In other words, they can't predict me and they can't control me. In other words, I'm a free mind. And the most dangerous thing to a media corporation is a free mind. They'd rather have a terrorist on from a jail cell in Guantanamo than me. They'd rather have a prostitute on. They'd rather have a mass murderer on. They'd rather have a skinhead on from Russia. They'd rather have a member of Hamas on who kills Jewish children. Because they can predict what they're going to say and where they're going to go. They cannot predict what a free spirit and a free mind is liable to do. And that, my friends, tells you everything you need to know about what it is to be an independent in this country today. It's interesting. I don't know how much, I don't know how many people can survive as independents. If I wasn't in the media, I don't think I'd get in the media today. I don't think they would let anyone in anymore who's independent. I'll go on a little slight distraction for a minute, just a tiny one, because I know you love the rivulets that I take you on. Yesterday was a long Sunday. There's a young man who's a musician, a saxophonist, who wrote me 5 years ago or more. He had listened to my shows for years since he's a little guy, and he would extract my monologues and turn them into just words in the midst of them. He'd take words out of the monologues and turn them into poems. In other words, he'd take the essence of what I was saying and break it down into poetry. Then he put music on it. I loved it. It was called the Found Poetry of Michael Savage. So he and I communicated. We were going to do a little something together, and I didn't have time. So he was going to be playing up here in San Francisco. I said, let's meet. So I met him yesterday for coffee, and he and I talked. This guy's like 30, 29, L.A. music scene. Saxophone player. He said, you have no idea how big this would be amongst the young hipsters in Los Angeles and across America in the music and arts community. I said, what, they would listen to me? He said, you don't understand. They don't know this part of you. They don't know this is what you actually are. They don't know the essence and core of your message can be broken out mathematically into poetry and into art and music. I said, okay, well, let's do it. So, I mean, anyway, the long and short of it is he came up with 20 new extractions that he brought for me. We listened to him. I was laughing in the outdoor mall. People thought we were crazy, two guys leaning over a laptop. One day I'll do it. Then I may do a nightclub performance in Los Angeles with a jazz backup like a Lenny Bruce Mort Sahl of me just reading these things. The point is no one does this. Nobody can do this. And instead of rejecting it, Fox News ought to embrace it. A man like me comes along once every, well, very seldom, let's put it to you that way. What am I looking for? What am I looking? I'm going to go on Fox News and my life's going to be better the next day? I'm going to walk around with a halo? They're going to build a statue for me on 42nd Street in Bryant Park so a pigeon can drop droppings on me? I mean, I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't need it. I need to be invited to a Hollywood party to feel validated? I think they need me more than I need them, by the way. When it comes right down to it, as the rabbi said to a young scholar, this old rabbi, scholar was struggling to raise a family, and he went to see a very revered mystical rabbi. The man came from Russia, and he was a very poor rabbi. He didn't have a suitcase even. He carried a carton, was tied up with string. He wore old clothes. The rabbi smoked incessantly, one cigarette after another. So the young scholar said to him, Rabbi, I know you're a famous man. I don't know what to do. No matter how I try, I can't seem to break through the barrier. They call it a glass ceiling today. I don't know what you call it then. Some other kind of ceiling. So he looked at the guy and he said, what does a man really need? A desk, a chair, a lamp, and a toilet. So the rabbi was trying to break it down for him, meaning if you're a scholar or a religious man, what do you really need? A desk, a lamp, a chair, and a toilet. Well, I would add a few other things to it, you know. Let's say a wife, cable TV, a refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? But that he was breaking it. It's not like that's all you really need. He was saying, what do you really need in life when you break it down? What are the basics that a man really needs? And we've forgotten that message. We all want more and more and more because we live in a consumer society. We've forgotten what it was like to grow up in another time in America. I didn't because I grew up poor, immigrant son. Yes, I'm proud of it. We had one car in the family. Used car at that. It was always 3 years old. Dad kept it like new. It was shiny. Lived in the street. One vacation a year, not 10. Mother didn't work. She, homemaker, cooked, cleaned, took care of the kids, made sure we did our homework, kept us on, in line. Not an easy job with me, I'll tell you that. That's the way America was. I grew up not far from Donald Trump's boyhood home, which sold last week for $2.1 million up in Jamaica Estates, which is very interesting. It was only like a 3,500 square foot house near Cunningham Park. So an investor bought Trump's boyhood home. I lived in an attached house. 20 by 100 was the lot. 20 foot wide house, brick. Like, think of an English movie from the 50s of so-called working class row houses. That's why I used to like British black and English black and white movies at that time of the factory worker. I identified with them, like the writers of that era, Saturday Night and Sunday Morning. I think Alan Sillitoe wrote it. I later on met him at a bar in Mallorca. That's a whole separate story for another day. Not that that was that exciting. He was just a drunk in the bar, and his wife was a beautiful young woman with a little baby who had to put up with him and drag him out of the bar. You know, he wrote one novel that was successful, and he just sat there drinking. That's what they did in those days. Writers thought they had to be drunkards to be writers. That was the whole thing. Unfortunately, they didn't have to be drunkards to be writers. You could be a drunkard. You could be a drunkard without writing. You could be a writer without being a drunkard. You could be an artist without being crazy. You could be an artist without being a drug addict. But the movie glorifies the whole idea that you have to be stoned and in pain, your heart ripped apart in order to be a great artist. I was watching one the other night with, but it's, every movie shows an artist is always a junkie, alcoholic, twisted up in this way and that. You don't have to be a junkie to be a great artist. You could be an artist in spite of being a junkie. Like, I think Huxley wrote, Aldous Huxley wrote that, a lot of artists create, they think, because of their neurosis. And he said, no, they create in spite of their neurosis. That liberated me when I was in my late 30s. I came to understand you could be all screwed up, but it's not what's creating, it's not what's giving you creativity. It's what's impeding your creativity. So in other words, I'm taking you on another mind trip for the moment, because the politics, I think, speak for themselves. And the questions are terrific. And I don't want to lose you by going off in too many different directions at once, but I think that's my signature stuff here. Something else I'm going to do today, I saw it on Friday, on the gender identity terms that have come up in our lifetime. There's going to be a big show on it tonight, on gender, the space between. It debuts on CBSN tonight at 8 p.m. What's CBSN? CBS News? Gender, the space between. And they've come up with a guide on gender for terms that you may not believe exist. Androgynous, bigender, binary, cisgender, dead name, gender dysphoria. Wait, there's a few lists, a whole list like a container here. Gender expression, gender fluid, gender nonconforming, gender questioning, gender queer, misgender, non-binary, passing, queer, sex, transgender, transitioning, and two-spirit. And I wanted to ask you, you think these terms are a reflection of social evolution or social devolution? I believe that's a great, what is this, an evolutionary step that man now identifies his sexuality in all these different ways, or is this a social devolution? The only one of those that really appeals to me to investigate is the two-spirit, a term that refers to historical and current First Nations people. Oh, isn't that touching? Whose individual spirits were a blend of male and female. Tell that to an Indian warrior. They would have cut your head off with an axe. This term has been reclaimed by some in Native American LGBT communities to honor their heritage and provide an alternative to the Western labels of gay, lesbian, bisexual or transgender, boys and girls. This is what they're teaching your children now from kindergarten through Harvard. That's all they're obsessed with. No inventions come of this. Nothing. Nothing comes of it except confusion, in my opinion. What's this with First Nations people? How could you call Native Americans First Nations people? Do you know what they were doing to each other before the white man got here? You know, listen, I've studied the so-called noble savage for many, many, many years. And many of you live in the delusion that they were living in peace and harmony with nature, and they loved one another, and all the tribes got along, and they met for a big powwow, and they loved each other, and they shared wampum, or whatever they did. No, they crossed over into the other person's hunting areas or food areas. They killed them. Not only would they kill them, they tortured them to death in front of their wives. Take their skin off and throw them out in the snow without skin. So let's not glorify so-called Native Americans, if you don't mind. They're people like everyone else. They were just here before we were. Okay, let's leave it at that. And I don't think that there are Native Americans who would suddenly say that they all embrace this concept of two spirits, that everyone was a male and female combined. I think that there were, I mean, it's well known. I've studied this in great detail when I was doing Earth Medicine in 1970, 71. Yes, there were gay people in the Native American world, and they were considered healers, and they were considered seers, and no, they were not picked on. That is all true. But they were not the norm. They were the exception, and they did not reflect the Native American attitude towards sexuality. I'll talk about this at another time, back in a minute on the big questions.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Let's talk about sleep for 1 minute. A great night's sleep can help you have a great day. I know that. I'm a big sleeper. And I'm having a lot of great days because I get a great night's sleep every night on my Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that gives you all the support you need and guarantees you get the best night's sleep ever. It ships for free in a box that's so small, you're not going to believe it holds a mattress. Easy to take into your bedroom. And I happen to love that Casper lets you try the mattress for 100 nights in your own home, risk-free. And they'll even come pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine, and they're going to refund you everything if you don't want it. No questions asked. From its breakthrough design to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights, it is no wonder Casper was named one of Fast Company's 50 most innovative brands of 2017. I'm very proud to have them on my show. And believe me, sleeping on a mattress is the only way to try it. It beats lying on one in a store for a few minutes, right? And the salesman tries to sell it to you. You get a Casper, you take it home, and you get a great night's sleep every night like I do. So go to Casper.com, use my code NATION, and you get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. You got it? That's Casper.com, code NATION. Get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Write it down, Casper.com, terms and conditions apply. Gary on WABC, line 9, what's on your mind?
You mentioned before about Rush not having you on. And you're a Queens guy, so am I. So this is going to ring true to you. The old saying, does Macy's tell Gimbels, right?
He's okay, nobody knows what that means. Meaning, would one department store tell the other department store what they're selling or their marketing plan for fear that the competition would... Is that what you're saying, right?
That's bottom line right there.
What? You think he doesn't like the competition?
No, of course not. He's not going to put you on because you compete with him. You beat him. Come on.
Well, it's not that we compete at the same time. We're on different times. And he is my lead-in on almost all the cumulus stations I'm on, and I really appreciate it. He has very big numbers. My question is a little different, which is he has people on with best-selling books who compete with him, and yet he never mentions Michael Savage. Why is that? I've been around for 22 years. He must have heard of me.
You write books. He tries to write books. You're on the radio doing this basically a political-type show and a common interest-type show. He does the same thing. That's it.
All right, so that's it. So look, I'm not saying he has to have me on, but the question is Fox News. They have a multitude of guests on a variety of topics. Here is a conservative... A David, Michael Savage, David versus Goliath, the Goliath of the media. I get a number one bestseller, and Fox News doesn't want me on the network? It says more about them than it does about me. It's a huge story, Gary.
Of course it is. It's a huge story all over. The same way the Times doesn't review your books, do they?
No, they never review my books, but they have to post it when it's number one because the numbers don't lie. They make believe that I don't exist. They make believe there are no thinkers on the conservative side. They're making a huge mistake. Half the country knows that that's not true. Thank you very much. Many, many, many stories in Crackolandia. That's the United States of America. Crackolandia. Well, deplorables, I'll be back to talk about who you blame for the failure of the Obamacare overhaul. Who do you blame for the Obamacare overhaul failure?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael.
Would Donald Trump have gone to the same hop that I went to? No. He went to the New York Military Academy for high school, and I went to the Jamaica High School Military Academy, which was a war of its own kind. It was a war of its own kind. The halls were like a military school in its own way. But you survive it. You had good teachers. Many of the men were World War II veterans or Korean veterans, tough as nails. They didn't take any crap from the kids. If anyone gave them trouble, they'd throw them out of the classroom. Then the assistant principal would take them in. If they gave them trouble, they'd throw them out of the school altogether and put them in what they called 600 schools or something. That was the next level for troublemakers. Imagine that, a school for troublemakers. Imagine if you actually threw a kid out for being a troublemaker today. There'd be no one left in the schools in New York. It's a crazy world we live in where the troublemakers are now running the system. So now looking at the news, McCain and Kasich make world's greatest leaders. Are you crazy? Fortune magazine listed them as two of the top American political leaders. And why they did so, of course, is because they're moderates. McCain is a crazy traitor. McCain is not a great leader. McCain is a backstabber. He's a quisling. McCain would work very well with the other side. And then they say this about Kasich. Kasich's moderation didn't resonate with Republican voters in last year's primaries. No kidding. Lately, he's rallied GOP's governors behind preserving the Affordable Care Act's Medicaid expansion, which allowed Kasich to secure coverage for nearly 700,000 Ohioans. Okay. And who pays for that? Tell me who pays for that. You know, it's nice to give health care to all, Bernie Sanders. It's nice to give jobs to all. They tried that in the Soviet Union. How did that work out? You can't make everything equal in a society because not everyone is equal. Take a look at a baseball field, a football field. Take a look at the higher learning, real higher learning, not garbage that's taught that passes for higher learning. I'm talking about the real sciences, the real skill sets that are required to advance in medicine and science. You know what I'm saying? You can't fake it. You can't just put people in there because they look good in the brochure. The fact of the matter is you cannot make everyone outcome. You can't make all the outcomes equal. Doesn't work. Never has, never will. Try a boxing match and tell me if you want equal outcome in a boxing match. Why is it they try to beat each other's head in? Because they're trying to prove they're better than the other man. That's the human spirit. That's what drives man from the beginning of time. That's what will drive nations and the individual man till the end of time. No matter what the cis-trans group wants you to believe, no matter what the cis-sisters want you to think, that's the nature of human beings. No matter what the cisgender maniacs want you to think, that's the nature of human beings, competitive. And they're more competitive than anybody trying to impose their twisted view of the world on everyone else. Here's another story I got recently. Came in minutes ago. I don't know why I get so mad. It doesn't really bother me one way or the other. I just can't take hogwash. They want a day, a woman's Muslim day. You hear this? A woman's Muslim day. Wait. A Muslim women's day they want. Because of the went from homophobia, that's over with. They won on that. Oh, now it's Islamophobia, sorry. For 30 years we heard there was homophobia. Now that there is no homophobia anymore, the next thing we have to worry about is Islamophobia. So if a bomb goes off and the one who put the bomb in your daughter's schoolhouse is a Muslim, you can't say that. Because that would be considered Islamophobia by the psychopaths who run the media. All right, whatever. Chicago Cubs president of baseball operations Theo Epstein was selected as the world's top leader after he led his team to his first Major League Baseball championship since 1908. What? What are they, crazy to come up with these things? According to ESPN, though, Epstein rejected such a lofty title. He said, "I can't even get my dog to stop peeing in the house. This is ridiculous. This whole thing is patently ridiculous. It's baseball, a pastime involving a lot of chance." So, you see, he knows. Missing from the list of the great leaders was U.S. presidents, Obama, Bush. Blah, blah, blah. Joe Biden, though, made the list at number 23. Who writes this stuff? Completing the top 10 leaders on the list are Alibaba chairman Jack Ma, Pope Francis, nausea. Melinda Gates, she's one of the great leaders of the world. If she didn't give money away, would she be considered a great leader? No. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, filmmaker Ava DuVernay, never heard of her, U.S. National Security Advisor, see, all left-wingers. McCain is on it as a great leader. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel, who's practicing a reverse of Hitler on her own people? It just shows you what these lists mean, nothing. Another list that means nothing. I've never seen anything like this. How does Fortune magazine come up with a list like this and think anybody's going to take it seriously? There is no Fortune magazine anymore. It's one or two small-minded men or women who work for these magazines who come up with these lists, and you're supposed to believe it. That's all. Did you want to take on this gender stuff? Is it social evolution or societal devolution to go down the road of renaming our sexualities in this way? It's a big show tonight on CBS. Androgynous, bigender, binary, cisgender, dead name. What's a dead name? How some transgender people refer to their given name at birth. So you have a small minority of people who are sexually, let us say, ambiguous. Let's put it to you that way. Until they make up their mind what they are. And now they're supposed to reorient all of society to their worldview. Do you understand what this is all about? You can't figure this out yet, that it's part of cultural Marxism. How, as I explain ad nauseum in almost all my books, including Trump's War, there is a thing called cultural Marxism. This is an example of it, to confuse people, confuse children, make children not know who they are so they can be made into malleable little creatures. Which leads us back to Trump's War, which is number one on the New York Times bestseller list, despite the blacklist by Fox News and virtually everybody in the media. You know, other than my own show, I was only on a couple of shows. Very, very, you know, small number of shows. No one in the conservative media would have me on. Well, Alex Jones had me on, to his credit. I know he's in trouble right now, and I'm not going to abandon him just because he's in trouble. I think he's a wonderful broadcaster. But the issue is also, who do you blame for the failure of the Obamacare overhaul? I didn't take any calls on that. The blacklist is more interesting to me because it's more personal. I like personal stories, those that I feel strongly about. Let's see this one. Michael Savage's new book, Trump's War, hits number one on the New York Times list, besting new offerings from both former President George W. Bush and Fox News host Bill O'Reilly. I wonder if it bothers them that this little guy from Queens beat them. You think it bothers O'Reilly? I don't know, maybe. Who would it bother more that I'm number one and they're not, Bush or O'Reilly? Who would it eat up more inside? Bush, I don't think, cares that much. He was born with a silver spoon. He has been president, so I don't think he would care that much that I'm number one and he isn't. I think it would eat O'Reilly up a little bit more because he has a TV show that's very good and very successful. Every one of his crappy books on how does anyone buy those books? Killing this one, killing that. What is in that kind of book? Killing this one, killing that, killing the emperor. Why does anyone read that? I don't understand the human mind anymore. And they buy like lemmings. They go in. He could just say killing anybody in there. They'll buy it. It's like a thing. It's like a cinema offering. It's like the son of Superman. The son of the son of Superman. The son of the son of the son of Superman. Superman's son-in-law. Superman's daughter-in-law. Killing Superman's son-in-law, killing Superman's daughter-in-law. And the lemmings going and buy. I don't understand what's in these things. But to each his own, it's a huge world out there. People buy what they want. But I'll tell you why you bought Trump's War. Because it has a distinct plan. There's a mission in my book. So someone called me over the weekend, very big person in the media who will remain anonymous. I have one friend in the media who's a giant. He's the Hearst of our time. And I said, well, you know, it's like a rock and roll record in the 50s, hits the charts for 1 week at number one and then drops off. You know what he said to me? He said, don't be surprised if it remains number one for 2 or 3 weeks. I said, how can it remain number one for 3 weeks if no one will even talk about the book? Can you imagine if Rush Limbaugh wrote a book that became number one on the New York Times list? You wouldn't stop hearing about it. Fox would have him on. He would talk about it, as you would expect, as I'm doing about my book. Everybody in radio would die to have him on and talk about it. He's one of ours. It shows that there's a big audience for conservatives and so forth and so on. I don't know how it could stay on the list for another week or two, but it can. Maybe people will get the message out to their friends, especially for this reason. Trump just lost enormously. I know many of you say it's not his loss. It is. There's no spinning this. It showed a grotesque mistiming here. Terrible, terrible mistiming. You know, looking in retrospect, we know that he never should have tried to overhaul Obamacare first. That was the least anyone wanted done, except for a small group of people who wanted it thrown out. It was not a large issue for most Americans. And secondly, I told this to someone months ago. I said, it's very hard to take back something you've given to a population. It's like removing free bread. If the government had started to give out rations of free bread and then said we're taking back 50% of the free bread we're giving out, there would have been riots in the streets. That's the last thing you should have done, not the first thing. I said over and over again, the first thing he should have done, first, number one, create something for Eddie. Eddie didn't get a job yet. Any jobs for Eddie? A few here and there I hear about. I said send some of the billionaires from Wall Street who are with him out to Western Pennsylvania to an old steel mill. Take the old skeleton of the steel mill, it's falling apart, and say with Barry Hopkins, make believe his friend Barry Hopkins, the merciless money trader from Wall Street, someone who's robbed money from widows by destroying pensions, and he became rich. You know, one of those wonderful people that we're now seeing dancing around the globe. You know, watch this show Billionaire. I'm up and down with it on Showtime. I see these people for what they really are. They're pirates. They're thieves. Most of them belong in prison for what they do. They don't produce any products or services. They steal money from everybody by manipulating government bonds, by manipulating currencies, by manipulating stocks, by buying and selling companies and throwing people out of work. We had hoped Donald Trump would straighten some of this out. And we wake up and we say, wait a minute, I don't see any water going out of the swamp. Does that swamp look lower to you? Why has that swamp not been drained? I don't hear a giant sucking sound going into the earth where I'm going to see just lizards and snakes left in there. All I see are the Wall Street greed bags. Now, everywhere I turn, there they are on top. So you take a few of these thieves, you fly them out to Pennsylvania in your Gulf's G650, or whatever you're flying these days, a Global Express. You land somewhere in Crackerville, and the guy puts on a hard hat with you, blue collar, he takes off his suit, his $12 million suit, puts away the $12,000 watch on his pinky, and he trudges out, and he stands next to the factory that's closed, and the president should say, with the help of Barry Slotkin, whatever, I'm making up a name. I think there is a guy, sorry. Hope there is no, I think there's a name. With the help of Barry, Barry Greedbags. Barry Greedbags is going to rebuild this factory and create 1,200 jobs in this town alone. Do that 10 times in a row. Popularity goes to 65%. But really do it. Pour the money in there. Make some of these crooks in Google, Facebook, make these crooks pay for this. Make these crooks who pay no taxes for their company, triple Dutch, quadruple Dutch, quadruple Dutch, triple Dutch. Now I wake up, they're now going to be running a whole new division of the government with the son-in-law. The very people who should be on the docket for getting away with no taxation, outsourcing jobs, giving jobs to foreigners instead of Americans, they're now on the inner circle with Jared Kushner to reinvent government. When is the swamp going to be drained? I don't know. I don't have an answer. But I have a good pump that I can contribute to the project. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Come back this Monday. What's on the agenda for this week? Is there something big coming up? Some catastrophic big thing in politics? Something I should look forward to? Oh, they just blocked the Gorsuch thing another week, the obstructionists. So what? Schumer, that's all he's good for, Bigfoot. Big Shoe Schumer blocked the Gorsuch hearings. A big accomplishment on his part. Jealousy is. His dream was always to be on the Supreme Court, but he never made it under Obama. And so now he's just an obstructionist. And the schmuck Republicans can't figure out how to get around him. They can't do anything. They control the presidency, the Senate, the House. And the Schmendricks, the idiot Republicans, can't figure a way out like do a Harry Reid. Where is the Harry Reid in the Republican Party? Where is this hard guy to just say drop dead to the other party, do the nuclear option, jam it down their throats, and tell them to shove it? Where is that person? Where? I want to know where that person is. Where is the Harry Reid of the Republican Party? There is none. Where is the hard guy who's going to say drop dead to all of them, just go and do it, We're going nuclear. We're going to do it with the minimal number of votes required. You can shove it if you don't like it. Where is that guy? Harry Reid did it. The world didn't come to an end. Robert, KSFO, line 6, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I was just going to say that I think the reason that Rush Limbaugh and Fox News don't have you on is because they feel threatened by your analysis, as if your analysis is better than theirs.
I'd love to hear a thing like that. I mean, I hit the gong on that one. Hey, thank you for that insight. I'm sending you a free copy of Teddy and Me. In fact, Teddy and Me is not here today. I had to have someone take care of Teddy last night. I'll tell you that story another time. It's man and his dog story. I don't even know if he got sick. I couldn't take cleaning up the floor. Don't ask. I do for this dog what I didn't do for my children. I don't like that stuff. Women, I don't know, they can do this. I can't do it. I cannot clean up after a dog anymore. I can't take it. There was such a respect and love for women. I mean, you could say, well, okay, they're putting on a pedestal to knock them off. You want to get really sarcastic. I don't know. I think women were revered in that era. They were seen in a different light than today. And we can talk about that endlessly. What are we going to get from that one? Trump's approval rating drops to new low of 36%. Gallup poll. So you say, a bunch of garbage. Well, I'm not so sure because I'm looking at this carefully. Trump's approval rating fell to 36% for the three-day period of March 24 to 26, following Republican House leaders failed ever to pass a new health care bill. Three-day reading prior to Friday's event was 41. Previous low point was 37. Highest reading was 46 in the week following his January 20th inauguration. He's averaged 42% for his term to date. Now, how do I know if these are accurate? Well, let's look at some of the earlier presidents and see if you think there's any accuracy here. Trump's current 36% is 2 points lower than Obama's low point of 38% recorded in 2011 and 2014. Trump is also edged below Bill Clinton's all-time low of 37, recorded in the summer of 93, his first year in office. That's interesting. So he was also low. As Gerald the Klutz's Ford's 37-point low in January. John F. Kennedy's lowest approval rating was 56%. That sounds about right. Dwight Eisenhower's lowest was 48%. Sounds about right. President G.W. Bush, lowest approval rating, 25%. Oh, he was lower than Trump. George H.W., 29% lower than Trump. Ronald Reagan, 35% lower than Trump. Jimmy Carter, 28% lower than a sewer worker. Richard Nixon, 24% lower than a thief. Lyndon Johnson, 35% lower than a trans politician. Harry Truman, 22%? I didn't know anything. When I was a kid, Harry Truman was president, like a year or two. I don't remember that. Who looked at, when you were a kid, did you ever look at any of this garbage? I don't like politics, and you come right down to it. I'm good at it, but I don't like it. Who would think I'd spend my whole life, that there's millions of years of evolution of my family lineage, surviving drought, plagues, the Huns, surviving it all, that I'd be talking about poll numbers and politics? That's not what I evolved for. This is what my ancestors fought their way out of the black forest for this? No, it can't be. There's got to be some other reason to exist than talking about this boring stuff. Yeah, this is what I do for a living. And do it well, I do. Why are you obsessed with politics? Answer, I'll tell you why. Why am I obsessed with politics? I'll tell you why. An answer. It's really a simple answer. It's very straightforward. And it goes to the core of my insights on virtually everything. My grandfather fled the oppression of the Tsar in Russia. You know that. I'm a descendant of a grandfather who came here from Russia to get away from the Tsar of Russia and then to get away from the Communist Revolution. I think he came here shortly after the Communist Revolution to get away from the Reds. So he came to the land of freedom, worked his heart out, died of a heart attack at 48, God rest his soul. Sam, the astronaut of the family, as I call him. Then the father comes along, never really made it big in America, but okay, he did a good job with me and raised the family, never made a, you know, attached house, never became a big shot. He didn't have the greed in him, nor I think did he have the hunger in him to prove he was better than the next man. In that sense, he was pretty straight, in other words, in that regard. He didn't have to prove he was better than everyone, number one. And number two, he didn't have the greed. He didn't have the greed gene. Now along comes Man-Child in the Promised Land, me. Why am I so aggressive? Why am I so driven? What am I trying to prove? I have a couple of reasons I can give you that are noble and a couple that aren't so noble. One noble reason is because I see this country going back to a form of government that my grandfather fled from, meaning hardcore red communism. I've seen it my whole life. I saw what it's done to me personally, and I see what it's done to this society. I look around the society, I see a garbage can. The garbage of the world is being dumped in here by Obama as fast as he could. What do I mean by garbage? Oh, all humans are noble. I know. We're all equal. Right. How many of them are going to work in this society? I look around. I see. I can't believe with my own eyes. He went out of his way to find the most diseased, the most unproductive, and the most violent he could find on the earth and throw them into the smallest towns in America that were predominantly heterosexual, white Christian communities. Did I make myself clear enough for you? Can anyone argue with me that that's what Obama was doing? He sat with his devils in the White House. Demonic devils sat with a map. And they said, now let's see, where are the straightest, whitest communities in this country? Let's see if we can put some more Muslims in there with no vetting and see if we can upset the apple cart and change the demographics of those communities. You're telling me he didn't do that? I know he did it. I've got the evidence to prove it. So that's why I fight. That's why I wrote Trump's War. And that passion, that insight that I just gave you is throughout that whole book. It didn't become number one because Rush Limbaugh had me on the show and said, what a great book it is, go buy it. It didn't become number one because the leg artists on Fox News said Savage is the greatest conservative writer in our modern times, outdoing William F. Buckley Jr. Not only in insights, but in language. No, it didn't happen. But you, the people, you made it happen. Now we got to do something else. We got to drain the swamp, build the wall. See, now we got the biggest job of our lives. I know I got to go to a break, right? Is it the red pop? Oh, thank God, I can talk another second. I feel very loquacious from eating leftovers. I didn't get distracted with Chinese food. I ate leftover dinner. I feel much better in the radio refrigerator. So let me read you something here. The wall. Let's see. How many of these things has Mr. Trump achieved so far? The wall, not. Tax, not. Tariffs on foreign goods, not. Deportations, yes. Obamacare, not. Guns, thank God, nothing. Military strength, yes, check that, that's up. Schools, nothing. Abortion, nothing. Religion, nothing. So I ask, what will the president do? Michael Savage, I'm called the godfather of Trumpomania. In this book, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so now let's go back to this. Because I'm going to say something that I want you to remember for the next 4 years or 8 years, and I hope it's eight, not four. You want to hear it? If Donald Trump achieves nothing more than stopping Hillary, he has already done an enormous service to this world. Did you hear me? You don't understand what we would have had 3 months into this calendar year had she won. And I will remind you, because many of us never remember the good in our politicians or in our own life. We never count our blessings. So I'll be Pollyanna for you right now. First Amendment, Hillary Clinton wanted to eliminate talk radio so she could take over this show and destroy it with the so-called fairness doctrine. So losers in the media who can't deal with real competition wouldn't even have a voice like mine to compete with. She would have eliminated websites that you've come to respect, like the Drudge Report. He would have been put out of business. Newsmax probably wouldn't have existed had she won. So, you know, count your blessings. She's not touching our First Amendment because she's not president. Now, how about the Second Amendment? That is sacrosanct to most of us, the right to bear arms. Why? Why are we such gun nuts? Why? Because we fear an oppressive government. We fear a police state, and we want to be able to protect ourselves and our family. He's not touching our guns. So on those two issues alone, we have huge victories to thank him for. That he should thank us for, by the way. So never forget what I just said to you, because I said the same thing toward the end of the primaries. I'm rather consistent, by the way. I'm not 100% consistent because I'm not a machine. I do change where change is required in my life and in my opinions. Like science is not fixed. The idiots who say 97% of scientists agree, therefore, that's nonsense. That's the definition of belief, not of science. Science has no absolutes in it. You know what that means? I learned that in the seventh grade. That this is absolutely true. That's a guy like Larry King, okay? A gambler from Brooklyn. Nice guy, but not educated. So he says, oh, Michael Savage doesn't agree with 97% of the world scientists on global warming? No, he doesn't. So, you're smarter than them. So no, Larry, listen to me. You have a nice bagel shop in Beverly Hills, but that's as far as your intellect goes. Here, listen to me, Larry. Listen carefully. There was a time that 99% of the world's so-called scientists said the Earth was flat, Larry, to make them right. So you could turn it right back on them. Now you understand why I'm not on Fox News and why people don't have me on this show. They don't want anyone who can actually think. So let me go back to what I'm trying to say to you. I change with the evidence that appears before me, whether it be in a scientific question, or I let the evidence lead me to my conclusions. I don't come into a prefixed idea of what should be. I come into it with what is. Same with politics. So, as Trump was emerging during the primaries, I kept saying to you, I kept revising down my formula. I was saying, well, look, if we only get 60% of what we want from Trump, that'll be a victory. Then, as we saw more of his liberalism appearing, and we knew that he comes from a New York liberal background, and we're not fooling ourselves, we're not idiots, but he was espousing what we wanted to hear, and I knew that. That's why I supported him. So then I was revising down what I was saying. Look, if we only get 50% of what we want from the Trump administration, that would be a huge victory. Then I said, I can probably find it, Robert. I think towards the end of the primaries, I said, even if it's as low as 10 or 20% of what we hope to get from Trump, that'll be a great victory, considering that she didn't win or Bernie didn't win. We would get like 120% of what we don't want. So what I'm saying to you is now Trump's moving from the positions he took to the left. He's going to compromise the Democrats, which he had to do to begin with, by the way. Had to be done. Had to be done. Had to. He had to work with them. He had to figure a way to do it. Only way to make it work is through negotiation, not dictation. I said that to you Thursday and Friday of last week. You cannot run the country like a business. In a business, a CEO has wide latitude. He can fire, he can hire. He can raise the price of his product, he can lower the price. He can eliminate a product without calling the board. He can just do it. That's why he's CEO. A president cannot do that. He does not have that latitude. He has to negotiate with the other side. That's part and parcel of the corrupt or the clunky, let's put clunky system that we have. Our clunky system of government was made like that by the geniuses who created it to make sure that a dictator didn't arise. And we ought to thank God that we have a clunky system or Obama would have destroyed us or all of our freedoms. He had us in his sights. Now, you count the things he couldn't get done. And that's because of the clunky system we have. Remember what Obama wanted? Remember what he wanted to do, what he didn't get away with? Let alone what he did through executive order? That no one said a word about it because he was, you can't say anything about him. No, he's so great. Can't say anything about Skinny. He's now hiding in the South Pacific. What's he doing down there? Writing a book, my eye. He's writing a book like my dog is writing a book. They came out, he's in the South Pacific now on an island that Brando once on. Are you joking? You buy this any more than you buy anything else about this guy? Wow, I'd like to see that movie. Man, I'd like to watch that some late night. Obama in Tahiti. I'd like to see that one on a late night television show. You know, let's stop right there. It's a family show. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Love what I'm about to tell you about. Charles Tirrett, I was actually a customer of theirs before they started sponsoring the Savage Nation. They make the best business and casual shirts you're going to find anywhere. All the fashion from their famous store on Jermyn Street in London has been made available online, and they're giving my listeners a huge saving. Charles Tirrett shirts are the most exquisitely tailored, crease-free shirts ever. They're British-styled, using only the softest, most comfortable fabrics, tie or no tie, tucked or untucked. You're going to really look great. They're really different than the garbage you buy in the store. Order now and get three shirts for just $99. That's 60% off, and all CT shirts come with free delivery. It's simple. A six-month quality guarantee and free returns. Just $99 gets you three amazing shirts right now at www.ctshirts.com/savage. Buy yourself some shirts. Ladies, dress your husband up a little bit, your boyfriend. Get him three shirts. He's going to love you even more. www.ctshirts.com/savage. Do women buy guys shirts? What kind of gifts do women get? Guys know what to get women. Flowers, berries, teddy bears. I don't think women know what to get men. A shirt's a good idea. Jennifer on KSFO, line 6. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you are a way of life. You're not just another talk show like Rush and and Fox and all of that, and stop wondering why they don't address you and your books and anything.
No, no, let's put aside my fact that I'm a force of nature and I'm extremely forceful. Let's put that aside. And I'm unpredictable. Put that aside. If a conservative writer, meaning Michael Savage, writes a book, it hits the top of the charts. This is a huge victory for Donald Trump. It's a monster victory for the deplorables. It's a victory for everybody in the media who says that they are conservative. That's what I'm trying to get at. They would celebrate it if it was anybody else. It's crazy not to have me on.
Yeah, but they're afraid of you.
What's to be afraid of?
You are a way of life. You're not just a talk show about politics.
If they had me on and said, you wrote Trump's War, it's not a novel. It's not a novel. It's a book about Donald Trump, his battle for America. If I were interviewing me, I would say, what do you mean by his battle for America? What's his battle? Well, we know he just lost on the health care thing. What would you advise Mr. Trump right now? You met with him personally. You had a dessert. I'm not going to talk about that because that was private. What would you tell Mr. Trump to do next? That's a simple question for Fox News, isn't it?
Yes, but there's so much more to you than Trump. Trump's war, Trump's everything. It's wonderful. I think it's wonderful.
Right. So, but you hear the totality. Look, a talk show is much more than a topic, than a set of topics, believe me. A talk show, after a certain number of years, has to engage the listener in the talker's life, his day-to-day, his worldview, his ups, his downs. People say, well, why do you include me? Because that's what it becomes. It becomes a very personal relationship. And I think that's what you're relating to. You're saying you're like a person that I know. And I've come to turn on the show every day because I feel like I'm part of you, part of your life. I do want to know why you're up, why you're down, why you're sad, why you're happy. How Teddy is. Is he getting old? Or this. In other words, we're like family. Isn't that true?
Yes. I don't do anything at 3 o'clock in the East when your show is on. Every day. Many.
I want to hear. I love hearing that. That makes me so happy that I make people do nothing except listen to me. Well, I'm going to not send you Trump's War because that's number one. You have to go buy it if you want it. I want it to be number one this week as well. I am sending you a copy of Teddy and Me, Ding Dong. That's the book about my dog and I, one of the great American classics, again ignored by the media, even though they allegedly love animals. The book is a classic. What can I tell you? Great publisher. Center Street is the best publisher a man could ever dream of. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award.
I feel calm. It's the calm before the storm, knowing myself. I always worry about getting too calm because I know something terrible is about to follow. It's all a dream. Life is but a dream. It's sort of a dream in America. Until you get run over by an illegal alien or poisoned in a restaurant. A friend of mine went to a restaurant I go to. He came. He said, you know what? The guy works for me. I swear to God. He ordered a food. They had a screw in the pasta. I can't tell you the restaurant. I was eating it the same night he went in. A pizza place, a local joint. I just went in there. And he was in there. I saw him come in. Next day, I said, that was the food. He said, there was a screw in my spaghetti. I said, are you joking? He said, no, a giant screw. How do you get a screw in a spaghetti? Unless that plate was meant for me, I don't really know. I don't know. I need a food taster now. But it went to him, not to me. We weren't even together. How does a screw wind up in a plate of pasta? Can anyone explain that to me? Where would the nut from a screw wind up in a plate of spaghetti? What would it fall out of? You could break a tooth. You could choke to death on it. It was a terrible night for me anyway. The dog ate artichoke off my plate. I turned my... Don't get me started with the dog now. And the mess I had in the house after. I know a dog can eat an artichoke. I got some Mexican friends in there who cook for me. They love me. I get along great with them. But they make a baked artichoke. It takes them 4 hours, he said, to do it right. They're big. They're delicious. There's a lemon flavor, no butter. It's unbelievable. So I suck the bottom of the artichoke leaves, as you're supposed to. Not only are they delicious, but they taste good. So I'm scarfing. I was in a scarf mood that night. I sat in the bar, and I was ordering like Fat Clemenza in the Godfather movie, in a frenzy. Do you ever eat like in a frenzy? I ordered a sausage pizza. It was all stops were pulled out. I didn't care about cholesterol, nothing. Sausage pizza was on a table. The baked artichokes was there. The blackened pasta was there with all the seafood. Unbelievable. Now I add a salad to that mixture and a beer. So the dog sees me going crazy eating the artichokes. I'm slurping, I'm scarfing, I'm biting, I'm gnawing out the flesh. And then I'm reaching for the pizza and across the table grabbing a slice stick. So the dog sees this, and he grabbed a piece of artichoke off my plate. And before I could stop him, he ate it. So he had, you know, like diarrhea the next day. What are you going to do? They can't eat the artichoke. He didn't know about eating the soft flesh and then spitting out the... So he got sick, you know. That's the problem. So who do you blame for the Obamacare overhaul failure? See how uninteresting it is compared to me telling about the dog? Whose fault is that? Trump, Bannon, Ryan, Freedom Caucus, Priebus, Heritage Foundation, Ted Cruz. Second topic today has been this. My book, Trump's War, is number one. And I've not been on Fox. No one in the media mentions me. I am blacklisted. The only big sites I was on was the Drudge Report, which is, you know, look, we all know it. He has more traffic than anybody. And you know, I call it the big board. It's as simple as that. Don't fool yourself. There's only one website that matters in the conservative movement. It's the Drudge Report. There's a few others. Newsmax is good, but it doesn't have anywhere near the impact of the Drudge Report. And it's a little middle of the road, which is the way it's set up to be, okay? So the fact of the matter is, the book hasn't been on there, though. Was it when I got into the incident? That's when I wound up on it. No, wait a minute. I don't know. No, there was no plug for the book. Oh, yes, there was. There was a picture of it once, one day. But it should be up there now. It should be on there now. You know what the headline should be on the Drudge Report? I don't mean the banner. There should be a picture of Trump's war, and the article should have been written 75-1. Because it's a nice headline. What does that mean? I'm 75 years old this week, God willing, Friday. Knock wood. I'm knocking on my head. And the book is number one, and my radio show is number one in New York City on WABC. That's an enormous accomplishment. So should you take pleasure in it, or should I? What if I tell you I didn't celebrate the book being number one? What do you think I did? If you had a number one book, what would you do? Maybe a vacation, champagne. I don't do it. It's like, I don't understand. It's like, okay, so what? Now let's move on. I'm working on three other projects right now. Some I've told you about, some I haven't. I read a story about this years ago. It's like, the guy won a Nobel Prize. I'm not in the same league as them. They're way beyond me, okay, in the sciences. So don't think I'm comparing. I forget what it was. I think it was Watson or Crick. They win the Nobel Prize, and the students say to them, Professor Watson, you've just won the Nobel Prize. And he says, that's very nice. And he goes right back to the lecture. He didn't do anything special. That's more or less how you have to take victories, because they're so fleeting to begin with. You understand what I'm saying? We're not children. We put on a pointy hat, and we get a birthday cake. You know, success is a stale finale and all of that. It's 100% true. I haven't really celebrated it anyway. I don't think I will. All I want to tell you is that the message in Trump's war is more important this week than it was last week. You did what I asked you to do. You put it over the top. Now everyone in the world looks at the... I would say anyone who's ever written a book, wants to write a book, everyone who's read a book, always looks at a few lists to see what's hot. It's like anything else. Now look at the top of the chart. Michael Savage, Trump's War. I don't even... Do you have it in front of you where they describe it? Could you send it to me, what the one-liner is they used in the Times? I don't have it in front of me to show you how disconnected I am from it. You know, whoever writes these little captions about the books, some of them are very well written. I don't know what they wrote, Robert. I don't want to misquote the people. What did they say on it? You can just send me the link. Okay, so everyone who picks up the ratings for books, whether you're a fiction writer or a nonfiction writer, you want to know who's on the list. Because if you're writing, you want to see what's selling. So you could pretty much figure out what to do to make a living or have a big hit. So now you look at the list. The conservative talk show host, Michael Savage, says, I don't know what they say yet, we're looking it up, and the book is Trump's War's Battle for America, number one. Say, what? Him? That guy that I hate so much? He became number one. How did he do that? We live in San Francisco. We control everything. How did he become number one? We didn't have him in the newspaper. Nancy Pelosi didn't stamp him with approval. How? Because you're irrelevant and I'm not. That's how. Nobody listens to you in San Francisco. You're a joke to the rest of the world. They listen to me. So, now that I've said that, you understand what I'm saying to you. So who do you blame? Tie it right back now to the Obamacare blow-up last weekend. Who do you blame for it? Who are you going to blame for that? Who's responsible? I didn't get to the gender thing yet. All the new names for genders. Imagine that? It's all a distortion anyway. I've told you that over and over and over again. What are the other topics I didn't get to? Ex-assistant FBI director, fifth column marching strong against Trump. That's a great piece. We've got to get to that tomorrow. Kallstrom. Tancredo says the Republic at risk. Deep state opponents seek to end the Trump presidency by leaks and sabotage. Great article. The gender identity terms you don't need to know. That'll be on CBS tonight. You hear? Look, my friends, if you're confused about your gender, can I make a suggestion? Go take a walk in nature or go to the zoo. Spend a little more time in the zoo instead of staring at your body parts in the mirror. And you might have some clarity on who you actually are. It might help you. Do you understand if you go to a duck pond and you see the boy duck and the girl duck and they know what to do? How come they're not confused? Can anyone explain that to me? Wait, let's start with the basics. You see ducks swimming in a duck pond. There's the boy duck, there's the girl duck. And guess what happens when the boy duck and the girl duck are together? I know you didn't learn this at Harvard. That's where the little ducklings come from. They swim behind them in a straight line. They actually swim behind mama duck in a nice straight line. How did that happen? They didn't have to think about it. That's who they are. He's the boy duck and there's the girl duck. He likes her. He likes her tail feathers. He follows her around everywhere. Drives her crazy. No matter what she does, there he is. Doesn't leave her alone. She doesn't need makeup. She doesn't need enhancement surgery. She doesn't need any gender assignment surgery. So how come the animal kingdom is so smart and mankind is so dumb? How did man become such an idiot that he's so lost he doesn't even know what he is sexually? How is that even possible? Now, that's not to say that every man is the same nor every woman is the same. It's not XX or XY down the line. I understand the subtlety. I get the whole spectrum. I understand it. But that doesn't mean the whole society has to listen to it every second of their life. Most of society is like the boy duck and the girl duck. Around the world, no matter what the society, Muslim, Christian, Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, agnostic, smart, stupid, educated, uneducated, wherever you go, most boys know that they're boys and most girls know that they're girls. They don't need a re-education to start questioning what they are. How did it come to Western Europe and America that so many people don't know what they are biologically? How did that happen? How did this happen? It's not the norm, by the way. It's a very, very small, small, small number of people. And yet, according to the media, you would think it's the norm. It isn't the norm. Doesn't mean we should reject thinking about it, but should it dominate our every thought as it does at Harvard and Yale and Berkeley? Absolutely not. But the fanatics in the sexual arena have so perverted the universities that that's what becomes the number one subject to talk about. That and hating Trump. Two major topics. Not physics, not engineering, not nuclear engineering, not nuclear science, not biology, not medicine, not the advancement of the human race. No. Two subjects only. We don't know what we are sexually, number one, and number two, Trump is Hitler and should be put in jail. That's all. That's the whole university system today. That's all. You go to Berkeley. That's all they're obsessed with. How did this happen that a society melts down like this? That's a topic that I find interesting enough to discuss. But, I mean, we go back to the main topics. Who do you blame for the Obamacare failure? I gave you the list. Trump, Bannon, Ryan, Freedom Caucus, Priebus, Heritage Foundation, Ted Cruz. All or none of the above. Topic two today was Trump's war. My book is number one on the New York Times list, despite the fact that I'm blacklisted by Rush Limbaugh and Fox News. And I asked you, why do they blacklist me? And what does this tell you about their supposed influence? I don't think that's a malicious statement. I think it's a very valid question. Because if we're all supposed to be pulling for the same end, yeah, right. Sure, we're all one team. Hey, hearty fellow, let's all have a drink together. Let's all, us talk shows, get together every few months and have a real round table like the Friars Club. Sure. Yeah, you never met competition like this. So here I am at a certain age, achieved number one with a book. I'm taking a victory lap because if I don't, who will? You? You'll hear about it on another show? Not. No, you won't. I'm doing a lot of the not thing. I think I shouldn't watch Borat again. I saw it in a replay. I kind of got such a kick out of the not thing. It's old. I know it's an old thing, but I've been doing it a lot because it actually is funny as heck. And so here it is. I'll be a certain age on Friday. And then what happens? I put on a birthday hat, a little pointy hat, and they take me. I go to L.A., and Robert De Niro invites me. Are you crazy? You think I really need that? I need the actors. Hey, you're really great. We've listened to you for years. We really admire you, Mike. Welcome to the Inner Club. Me and Marty Scorsese love you. We want to do a movie of your life. And here it is. This is your life, Michael Savage. Here's Martin Scorsese coming out. He's going to do the movie of your life. No, not going to happen. And I don't need it, because I got a great filmmaker doing the movie of my life. I don't need Martin Scorsese. I don't do violence. I don't do drugs. I don't do murder. So I don't think Marty Scorsese is going to be interested in me. He does a genre. His genre is murder and mayhem. And he's a great artist. But that's what he does. He specializes in murdering people, movies about murdering, knifing, killing, stabbing, torturing, putting a vice around someone's head and popping his eyes out. That's the kind of movie he does. He's not going to be interested in my story. Why would he want to do my story? Now, I could start talking. I could just start the show right now the way I feel. How is this possible? How is it? Where does the energy come from? How do I do this? How? Because I'm driven. Why am I driven? What am I driven about? What am I trying to tell you? I'm telling you in my own way that I am an immigrant son. And that everything my grandfather fled in the Soviet Union is coming to pass in this country all over again. I've told you this for 20 straight years. You don't realize how close we came to losing our freedoms. And for that alone, you have to celebrate every day that Trump is president. If you got 0% of what you wanted, you're 100% ahead of the curve already. On two issues. One, which is the First Amendment. Two is the Second Amendment. If you got nothing else, you already won. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Here's a little piece of news for those of you in the Democrat-controlled media side. Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, remember him, John Podesta? You want to hear a little bit about Russia? Oh, yeah, Podesta may have violated federal law when he didn't disclose 75,000 shares in a Putin-linked company. Oh, yeah. Putin joined the executive board of Juul Unlimited Technologies, a firm partly financed by Vladimir Putin's Russia, in 2011, and he received 100,000 shares of stock options, according to an email uncovered by WikiLeaks. Now, this is a very big story. So you got to be careful, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You're going to start digging up Russia and Trump? Well, look what you dug up. Be very careful. We don't know who's going to come up next on the screen of undisclosed assets in Russia. You don't know where it could lead. Do we actually know, and I'm not naming names, which senator, which senator's husband, which congresswoman, which congresswoman's husband has any business dealings with Russia? No, but we will. You keep digging. You don't know what's going to come up from the earth. Now, there's another story here. You like to think that Trump is surrounded by some of the toughest, smartest people in the world. They may be in their own business, but I'll tell you what he's lacking. He's lacking a Michael Savage. Because I will tell you what I would do right now to regain the upper hand. I would unleash 30 lawyers to investigate his biggest opponents. 30 lawyers scouring everything that Schumer ever did in his political career, going back to being a high school valedictorian, if that's what he was. I would investigate the senator from San Francisco, the congresswoman from San Francisco. I'd hire 30 lawyers, and I would have them dig through every email, every paper they could find. That is the only way to win here. He does not have a Roy Cohn. Did you hear what I just said? Here, headline. Savage's book number one, Trump's War, suggests he get a Roy Cohn.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about who you blame for the failure of the Obamacare overhaul and why, although my book Trump's War is number one on the New York Times list, I am basically blacklisted by Fox News and Rush Limbaugh, who's the greatest talk show host in history, and very conservative at that. So during the break, I made myself a second cup of coffee for the day, and I got my almond milk creamer, which I bought this morning at 6:30 in a supermarket. I don't eat dairy, if I can avoid it, basically. Unsweetened, made with real almond cream. And I was looking at the back of the container. These containers, they're dairy-free, soy-free, gluten-free, carrageenan-free, GMO-free, cholesterol-free. You ask yourself, how does it taste so good? What's in it? So I got to thinking about all these containers and packages which are free of everything, gluten, vegan, I realized that if I were to put a package on the Republican Party, I'd have to label it as such. Ideas free, character free, principles free, education free, guts free, and spine free. And then I can drink the Republican Party milk. Because there's nothing there. There's no there there. One thing you got to say about the liberal, socialist, Islamist party, the Dems, they have very strong ideas about destroying America and taking away our freedom. They have plenty of guts and spine. And they've really studied their history very well. They know just how to bring a country to its knees. You got to hand it to Pelosi and Schumer. You know what I'm saying? If you were to label that package. Michael Savage's new book, Trump's War, hits number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Everyone is reporting it. Not. A few places have. Newsmax, WorldNet Daily, Washington Times. Now, you'd say that's a big deal. I don't want to hear about it. And I'll tell you why you're going to hear about it, because I did it without any media help to speak of. Ask yourself a question. I want you to think about this. Washington Times says Trump's War is Battle for America by Michael Savage, now at the top of the heap, besting new offerings from both former President George W. Bush and Fox News host Bill O'Reilly. Bill has a great television show, but his book is not number one. George W. Bush is a former president with a huge PR machine and a great following. He's not number one. I want to ask you a pointed question, which is very important, and it's a loaded question, but I have to ask it at long last. Why do you think Fox News and Rush Limbaugh blacklist me? What is it that Rush Limbaugh and Fox News fears in mentioning Michael Savage's name? And what does this tell you about their supposed influence? Fox News and Rush Limbaugh think that they're kingmakers. Are they really kingmakers? Are there any kings left? Is there anyone to make a king anymore? These are great questions because they're tied together. But why is it that Fox News blacklists Michael Savage all these years? You know, when an author hits number one in a political book, usually every outlet in the country wants him on the show, left, right, and center, because it makes for good television. In that, if you're a liberal, well, you want to take on the conservative and ask him, how do you think you hit number one? What does it say about America? How do you think your book went to number one without any media support? That's a great television show. If you're a conservative, as some pretend to be on Fox News, you have the guy on for a victory lap. One of theirs won. So how is it that I'm not on Fox News? Who is it at Fox News? Roger Ailes is gone. I used to hear it was him. He's gone, so you can't blame him. Is it Murdoch himself? I wouldn't know. Now, number two is Rush Limbaugh. God bless Rush. He created this format for most of us. Hats off to Rush. But we all know he's lost his way. We all know that he plays the center so often that he doesn't know where right or left is. He mentions people in the media day and night, but he never mentions me. Why? I did this without him. He needs me more than I need him. That's the important truth here. He needs me more than I need him. So these are important and tied in questions, but there are many other topics. Dick Cheney says Russian election meddling could be an act of war. This is astounding. He was at at the Economic Times Global Business Summit in New Delhi on Monday. And he said, Russian attempted interference with the X-16 election could be considered an act of war. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you have any idea how insane this is? He is now joining the far left of the Democrat Party to say that Russia attempted to interfere with our internal political processes when he said nothing about Obama meddling in Israeli elections. What other countries did Obama meddle in? I gave this to you last week, remember, Robert? I did a whole show topic on it. It didn't seem to make it in the media. Obama meddled for sure in the Israeli elections and the Egyptian elections. He meddled in Ukraine. Those are three countries we know of. And there was one other. Was that a declaration of war by Obama? So why is Cheney now taking the position of the far left? First of all, we know that Cheney is a warmonger. He's part of the Bush family oil industrial complex. They just say Halliburton. Just say Halliburton and say Patriot Act, and you know who Dick Cheney is. There's no proof of a Russian interference. That's a left-wing invention. And here's Cheney throwing it out there for the world to gobble up. Somebody wrote this. They said, you would think living with some poor unfortunate's heart, keeping him alive, would have humbled that dirtball. Don't think people don't see through these puppet masters. They do. But here's an example of who the Bush clan really was and really are. They're extremely deceptive, in my estimation. Russian election meddling could be an act of war? Wow. Now you could see why I'm not on Fox News. They don't know where I'm liable to come off or where I'm liable to go. In other words, they can't predict me and they can't control me. In other words, I'm a free mind. And the most dangerous thing to a media corporation is a free mind. They'd rather have a terrorist on from a jail cell in Guantanamo than me. They'd rather have a prostitute on. They'd rather have a mass murderer on. They'd rather have a skinhead on from Russia. They'd rather have a member of Hamas on who kills Jewish children. Because they can predict what they're going to say and where they're going to go. They cannot predict what a free spirit and a free mind is liable to do. And that, my friends, tells you everything you need to know about what it is to be an independent in this country today. The fifth column, marching against Trump from the deep state, is a topic. The appointees within the State Department are there since Bill Clinton's era, need to be purged. I still to this minute do not understand why Trump has not fired all of the holdovers from Obama and Clinton, the Clinton years. They're still in there. I don't care if they're federal employees. He's got to get rid of them. Why hasn't he gotten rid of them and replaced them? Well, there's a few answers. One, because it's not that easy to get rid of federal employees. Number two, he doesn't have the people to replace them with. There are not enough qualified people to replace them with. So just eliminate the positions as they do in corporations. You just eliminate the positions and don't replace them. Most of them do nothing anyway except plot every day. You know, years ago when I was a young academic, I was told that most people in academia spend all of their time plotting against each other. That's all the faculty does is plot against each other to undermine each other. Take the English department, the physics department, it doesn't matter which. They all backbite. And they connive against each other to try to bring the other one down and advance over the other guy. That's why I hated academia. I thought it was too petty. It's no different in any structure, by the way. It's almost the same in corporations. It's almost the same in politics. It's constant plotting and scheming against each other in a bureaucracy. And the larger the bureaucracy, the more of the plotting and scheming against each other. This goes back to the ancient Chinese system. If you look at ancient China and you look, I've told you this many times. It's an important point to make today, I suppose. It just kind of fits right in here in this giant 12,000-piece puzzle I do every day. So here's a little piece of the puzzle. China was the most advanced civilization on the planet until about the year 1000 AD. They had six-masted sailing ships. They were mining coal. They had invented paper. They were ahead of everybody on the planet. And then something strange happened in China. A vast bureaucracy began to form, like what we call big government here. And this vast bureaucracy was ruled by a small and increasingly power-mad elite called the Mandarins. Think of them with the long fingernails. They were like the elites. Nancy Pelosi, long fingernails. Dianne Feinstein, long fingernails. The only one without long fingernails is called Barfly. She bites them off. But the issue is, the long fingernails ruled China with these long, long talons of intrigue. And what happened in China after that, ladies and gentlemen? The advancement of China came to a halt. Eventually, it died out completely because the centralized government that had emerged, this giant bureaucracy, the big government, you want to call it whatever you want, socialism, they didn't know about that then. It was just central power, strangled the entire country, strangled all innovation, prevented any innovation from occurring, and China fell into disrepair. The warlords appeared, and it was 800 years of fighting until the most monstrous of all of them appeared, who killed 60 million of his fellow countrymen through starvation and murder, Mao Zedong, revered to this day in San Francisco. So what does that have to do with today? We have a gigantic bureaucracy, which you know about, called big government. Hillary Clinton would have made it much larger. Trump came to power largely by saying he was going to take down the big government, drain the swamp, right? Build a wall, knock ISIS off the planet. We'll give him some time. I mean, it's only been 3 months. My birthday's at the end of this week, March 31st. Somebody was going to write a story, by the way, again, another little piece of the big puzzle, the big tapestry. And that is this. I don't have anything to hide. You all know how old I am. I'm not ashamed of it. I'd be ashamed of my age. I have the energy of a 20-year-old. I have more energy now than I did at 30. How does that work? How is it that I have more stamina and energy than most men in their 30s who are kind of inside? They don't have much energy left in them. Well, anyway, I don't know. I'll tell you that another day. Here's the thing. Somebody was going to write an article called 75 and 1. No, 75 and number 1. They thought it was a phenomenon. How could you, at 75 years of age, have a number 1 bestseller and have a number 1 radio show in New York City on WABC? How did you do it? How could you be number 1 on radio on the biggest station in the entire complex called WABC? And how could you have a number 1 bestseller at your age, number 1, and number 2 without any help from the media? How is that even possible? Well, it's not about me. Of course my ideas are important, but there are a lot of people out there with wonderful ideas, good ideas, fabulous creativity. So what is it then? It's the audience. It's you. It's the listener. It's the dedication of this audience to me, to my ideas, because my ideas reflect your ideas. I am your voice. I am the voice of the voiceless. Remember, Spiro Agnew called the silent majority what it was, the silent majority, and Reagan came to power. Remember that? After Nixon, on the silent majority. What did I name this audience many years ago? Not the deplorables. I called you the silenced majority. Not the silence majority, the silenced. One letter says it all. You are the silenced majority no longer. You have been activated by me and by others like me, by people in the media who know what's going on. Never mind what the gigantic bureaucrats want you to think about how evil it is to overcome a giant bureaucracy and destroy everybody's creativity and freedom in this country or any other country. No. We are the voices of freedom. We're the last possible hope for the creative sparks out there in this country. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, as we come into the last few minutes of this great show today, celebration, Trump's war hits number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Let's see if we can keep it there for another week. I want to play a little sound, and we'll start with Governor Jerry Brown, who says it's not Christian to build a wall to keep out illegal immigrants. Now, when an atheist starts quoting Christianity, you better reach for your Glock, because they're coming to get you. Whenever an atheist starts quoting the Bible or God or the Ten Commandments, you know that they're definitely out to get you. So now we have the comedic issue of Governor Jerry Brown saying it's not Christian to build a wall to keep out illegal immigrants. Now, why would Jerry Brown want more illegal immigrants in the state when the state is bankrupt, overrun with crime, broken roads, infrastructure falling apart, the forests are polluted from the marijuana being grown and the streams being polluted? Why would he want more illegal immigrants in the state of California? This is so easy for you to figure out. How do you think he became governor? How do you think Pelosi and Feinstein maintain their iron grip, other than through the illegal alien vote and the unions? So listen now as he gives you the hogwash about it's not Christian in 08 on Savage Nation.
I don't like that wall, number one. And to the extent that that violates law, certainly I would enforce that. We're not going to sit around and just play patsy and say, hey, locks in, do whatever the hell you want, deport 2 million people. No, we're going to fight, and we're going to fight very hard. But we're not going to bring stupid lawsuits or be running to the courthouse every day. We're going to be careful, we'll be strategic, and we'll do the right human, and I would even say Christian thing from my point of view. You don't treat human beings like that.
Oh, no, no. The way you treat human beings is the Jerry Brown way. You let illegal aliens shoot them in the street. You let illegal aliens suck the welfare system dry. You let illegal aliens drive without license. You let illegal aliens vote. That's the Christian way, according to Jerry Brown, but not according to me. Now, we have other sound for you. We have non-binary gender person. I don't know what I am. Again, let's go back to the boy duck and the girl duck. Maybe this genius ought to go to the zoo a little more often and stop looking on the internet. Listen to number 12. It's coming up tonight on CBS News.
For me specifically, non-binary means just like the absence of gender ruling your life. I'm non-binary because not only do I not like know what I am, I don't want to know what I am. You shouldn't this label that makes you have to act a certain way, be a certain way, like look a certain way. Think about it. Why does having a vagina or having a penis make me like have to be this way? It doesn't.
No, not for you. Of course it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So if the person's a sad sack, a lost soul like this, you don't hurt the person. You don't laugh at the person. You don't mock the person. But if you glorify the person, as CBS News is doing in every school in America, what you do is confuse the children and make more children lost souls. And that's the final word today on the Savage Nation. The compassionate conservative himself signing off, reminding you, go to your bookstore and definitely do not be a non-binary. Go and buy Trump's War to make it number one again. Good night.